And so just noticing what the mind is doing. It often happens that towards the end, the idea of maybe the retreat coming closer to the end, right, the mind begins to have some thoughts, maybe a few more thoughts about things. I noticed on the bulletin board, when there's not a crowd in front of it, I can get closer to the bulletin board. And this morning there wasn't a schedule for today, and just wondering, you know, how easy it is for the mind to then kind of think about, does Friday even exist? what's going to happen today? So these are concepts, thinking, and there's nothing problematic about thoughts. It's how we consider, what it is we want to do. It's how we make meaning. And yet, when all we know or experience are the concepts, what the Buddha says is that is really the functioning of delusion. Right? Delusion, moha, this quality of mind that really only experiences a conceptual layer, the mind's meaning making. So the stories we have about the day, stories we have about how we're doing in this moment, stories about what's going to happen in the future, what did happen in the past, our worthiness. And so that level of the mind, conceptual level, again, nothing wrong about it. It's an activity of the mind, but when it's not seen as a production, then we are living mostly on a conceptual level. And the nature of awareness and wisdom is that it gives us this access and the possibility of realizing or recognizing both the activity of concepts. We know the mind is thinking that today may be the end. There's no Friday, so it knows that. But then also, it knows the mind is thinking. It knows that there is a moment right now that is passing and arising, hearing happening in the present moment, right, that can be known. Just as we, without trying, can follow, if your attention is following my words, you can very naturally understand the meaning, right, that happens. That the awareness and wisdom also can recognize the reality that hearing is happening. Right? The reality that there's this experience of the body in the present moment, body breathing, and feelings. and very natural. We don't need to interfere with the activity of the heart and mind. It's really kind of an open, settling back. You know, and yet we do need to remind ourselves, put in those conditions at times when we notice the mind, you know, is more in a conceptual mode. What's needed to simply recognize, oh, here are these concepts, the stories. And there is this potential for a sense of wakefulness, of knowing, right, that we are in the present moment with this experience. And if for you there's already a momentum that is happening, and seeing if you can trust these qualities, heart and mind qualities that are already there, so maybe even more letting go, softening the body, softening the effort. Even as we remember to allow whatever is happening to happen, remembering that it is some natural process, some conditions coming together, the body energies, mind energies, feel like this. And also, check and bring in this quality of interest, and being interested in how it is the experience is being watched, observed. What does the feeling of being identified with it? How does that feel when we see it more as a natural process, an aspect of nature? What is the experience like? And so if it's helpful at times, just exploring the attitude of how it is we are experiencing whatever is being known. And it's so easy to get absorbed into the experience that we forget the mind is knowing, feeling, or sensing. And this is often where we can learn about, right, these energies of aversion, pushing away, holding on. Also natural risings. But awareness allows us to learn, to understand something as we watch, allowing the natural process to unfold. Thank you again for your efforts, your practice. And you may have seen on the schedule that's posted now that things, you know, begin to change a little bit. So just letting you know, let's see. Yes. 2:45, it's the same meeting time. So it's 2:45, so we all gather together for some Dhamma talk and then some managers, announcements, things that are helpful in terms of taking care of the next things that we need to do. And a kind of bigger change for today is that we are going to open up the possibility for some talking. Blood pressure go up? Yeah. Or down? I don't know. So this the way we're going to do this, and well, first to say that, you know, there really is something meaningful and important about practicing in domains of our life that feel challenging, right? And it may feel, you know, everything feels challenging. But, you know, we get a little bit more skilled when we come and sit on our cushion. There's maybe some sense of, oh, yeah, this is, I can kind of return to awareness. I can start again. Okay, I can start to figure out how to do a formal practice. And then the question, you know, so often comes up, the main question as we come closer to the end is, you know, how do we do this in daily life? Well, part of this structure really is to help us feel like this is our life. We get to really explore, you know, how do we move in and out of, you know, sitting posture, walking. How do we bring awareness to all the different things that are happening during the day? And there is so much, right, happening in our minds, in our bodies from moment to moment. And learning how to be with that as it goes along is our practice. So being on retreat and being with fellow yogis who have also been practicing, who are also pretty sensitive now, maybe a little stability. There's something quite precious about Sangha, community, being together in our practice and having a chance to explore the practice of speaking and listening when we're in this time together. Otherwise, we leave retreat and then we're just thrown back into the world without actually taking advantage, really, of this sort of community that we have. So the way it's going to work is totally optional. Number one. And it's going to be very informal in some ways, but contained. So we're going to have an area that we're designating at the top of the parking lot, like an area that you might, if you're interested, to come together to talk, that's going to be the area to meet up. And it'll be really the encouragement and the request is just two people, just pairing up, not all 80 of us gathering together and having cacophony. It's more an intention to go there to practice mindfulness of speaking. What do we experience when we try to speak, right? Mindfulness of listening. So it's about pairing up. The time is going to be really after this session until we come together at the 2:45 session and then excluding the lunch period. And the area really is going to be just in that area, not up in here where if we're sitting in the hall kind of creating a lot of disturbance. It's really down there, and you can choose to go down there. And again, just there's in this social domain, so much gets activated. Even just going there to wait to meet up with someone can bring up like this feeling like of, you know, being like on a date or something, like you're waiting there and see, is someone going to come? And then maybe someone does a near pass by and they're just walking by and you know, stuff gets activated. So this is our practice, right? This is happening anyways. We pass each other, you know, in the hall and dining room. There's so much stuff that we can kind of be sensitive to. So time is from after the session till the afternoon session, going back in the silence during the lunchtime, outside, down there, pairing up. And really, we're thinking around 5 to 10 minutes, really giving you a sense of container so that the intention, again, is this opportunity to explore mindfulness of speaking, listening. At the monastery in Myanmar, where Sayadaw Utejaniya is, it's really this lovely, for me, I loved it, because there's this long kind of concrete road that runs from one side of the monastery to the other, and it's about a 10-minute walk from one side to the end of the other side of the monastery. And outside of the Dhamma hall, right, talking is permitted, and so you'd see people just strolling together. And what you know, it's every time I'd hear someone passing by, they're always talking about their practice, something about the Dhamma. And no one would even need to tell them, like, stay, you know, on the Dhamma, because once you begin practicing, this is what is most interesting, right? Something that is genuine, right, is real. And so if you keep your conversation a little bit in the domain of the Dhamma, it's also very supportive for your awareness, for awareness practice. You can find some benches to sit on. There's some benches, I think, in that area down there. If you want to do walking, strolling, you know, there's the parking area, the side road along back there as well, but basically in that whole area.
Right on the path, not right by the staff.
Yeah, and not to go where the staff little cottages are, not to go towards, there's a path that runs in front of those, so we're really trying to keep the staff space sort of protected. So, yeah.
No mask? We could be mask-free outside?
So the question is about masks. I would assume you don't need to wear a mask outside, but if the person that you're with, that's really your choice, and you can just sort of navigate that together. If there's some need to have a mask, then we can really kind of honor that. But
that could be the subject of discussion.
That could be the subject of discussion. It doesn't matter what we talk about. We're practicing mindfulness of speaking and listening, so that could be the topic. Any other? We'll just do some questions about that. Yeah. Right.
Like, should people who don't want to talk not be in?
Good question. Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, we could basically say that if you are down by the upper, this end of the parking lot, there's a large stone. I don't know if you've seen it. There's a large, big, really big, large stone down at that area. If you're hovering in that area, you could say you're basically signaling that I am available for this practice, and feel free to approach me. And if you don't want to engage in speaking practice, then there's so much, you know, there's so many other areas to be. So, yeah. Couple tips just around the practice of speaking. Yeah, so much energy comes with the speaking. Just there's a lot, you know. Oftentimes we might say the first word mindfully, and then we're gone, right? It's like, and then, you know, we just sort of, and particularly like Sayadaw says, once we start talking about ourselves, that's a little, right, which is what we're going to probably do anyways. But just noticing, wow, what is it? You know, what is the content that we're wanting to speak about? The body. Great place as a support, right? you're walking or sitting, feeling your body as you speak, the intention to speak. It's a little bit more subtle, but just that intention. And really, mindfulness of any activity is the same instructions. What is it that we feel we can be aware of? It might be the sound of our voice, something very simple for the one speaking, just the sound or the movement of our body, our feelings, right? Do we feel a little stressed? And, you know, just noticing how easy it is to lose awareness, right? And then if you're the listener, you know, how do we listen? Do we know how we're feeling? Are we just in the person's sharing, right? Where is our attention as we're listening?
When you said 5 or 10 minutes, I assume you mean limit the conversation. Don't stand there and talk somebody's ear off.
Yes, this is going to be a rule. It's sort of like a speed limit. You know, the speed limit says something and everyone goes over it. So we're going to say 5 or 10 minutes. It's difficult to end conversations, actually, sometimes, because you need both people kind of at the same time saying, are we done? Which is a hard and a little socially awkward thing. But if we say 5 or 10 minutes, and I know it's like if you take one path, like let's say you walk to the end of the parking lot and back, and that takes 5 minutes, maybe you do it twice. But something that just helps to not get stuck in a conversation for an hour, 2 hours, 2.5. It's amazing how, you know, there's a friend was sharing that had sat the 3-month retreat here at IMS, and she's a teacher now, but she was saying how her best friend was on the retreat, and 3 months of silence. The silence opens up. One of her good friends was on the retreat with her, and she said they started talking, I think she said 12 hours, just talking, which of course gives the mind a headache, like just so much, you know. So this is to practice. Remember why you're doing it. We're trying to practice. Take a break after you've spoken, right? Check in with yourself. How do you feel? Activated? A lot of energy? More settled? More connected? More isolated? Seen? Not seen? All of that terrain comes up in the social realm. And so you might, you know, 1 or 2, 3 maybe, times, like explore that, up to you. But really think of it as an opportunity if you feel interested to do that, knowing that we've all been practicing together, all some kind of settledness, sensitive. So it's a good chance. Or you can just wait to meet the barbarians that are out in the world that haven't been practicing and try it then. So, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Up to you, and those sort of encouragements of, there's a practice called insight dialogue that gives some encouragements of pausing, speaking, and having one person really be the speaker and the listener. And I would say, you know, you could explore doing that, and even just hearing those encouragements, that idea of pausing, taking your time. Yeah, so we can explore different ways. And, you know, some of it is we are going to have conversations that have, a sort of natural ebb and flow, and how do we meet that when we're more intentional? How does that feel? Right, so, yeah, thank you for that. Anything else come up?
For some reason, I'm thinking, remind them again.
again. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I was just wanting another reminder that lunch is in silence. I think I said it twice. Now I said it three times. That's true. And anything else on your mind in terms of any could just be open now, just any question or anything. Yeah.
You said before that we know how to do a formal practice, or we know what we do. I can't remember my formal practice.
Okay. Right. Yeah, just, you know, and sometimes I think when we try and think about something, what is my formal practice, we're not even sure. But actually when we settle back into the present moment, reconnect again, not as an idea and concept about what is my formal practice, there is more of a felt sense of, oh, right, this is what it feels like to be embodied or present. Right? And I would start with some just very simple, you know, practice really can feel like that return to simplicity, because we so often live in a lot of complex ideas, right, and agendas in our mind. This is something I believe Andrea Fella, who also teaches in this style, she often says, if it's complex, if it's complicated in the mind, usually some sort of defilement or affliction is there. The meditating mind often feels very simple again, because it's just this moment. How do I tend to this moment? Right? And we do the best we can. Well, how do I tend to it? Well, it may just be, again, softening the shoulders, relaxing, taking a breath, and then the awareness comes back. Right? Something like that. Yeah. And play. Practice is about play, like experimenting. So if we're afraid to try to speak, and this is, Mark and I were talking about this, he was suggesting to encourage, if you feel like I'm not doing the talking, thank you for making it optional, I'm not doing it, then maybe just watch the mind do that a bit. Sit with that, let that wave of feeling come and go, and then see. Maybe kind of lean in towards that. And then if you're someone that's like racing down to be the first one, then maybe observe that energy, right? That just another Dhamma, let's deal with that, right? So just learning, all this about learning. Yeah,
did you? I had a question not about the talking, is that okay?
Yeah.
Everything was like very stable. There wasn't really any like intentions coming up, mm-hmm. not really many thoughts coming up. And it was like, you know, it was like 10:30 at night. And it just kind of felt like there was like, I wasn't unaware, but I just felt like there was just nothing happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I think differently than feeling like a sense of peace that felt good, it just felt like almost like, like just like nothing, no, like just kind of nothing. And so I was sitting there and I wasn't tired. I had a lot of energy mm-hmm. in my body and I didn't feel like I was falling asleep at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I felt like I could be here forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing, just like it didn't feel like onward leaving. So I was like, mm-hmm. should I stay here until the morning? Which probably wouldn't have happened.
Right,
sure.
Right.
But, or should I just leave?
Right.
But there was no aversion to it.
Okay.
There was no, and so I sat there for like 20 more minutes, just kind of like watching nothing.
Right.
And I kind of like confusedly walked away.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't know if you could hear. Could you hear in the back? It's a little long. Not really. So just a report about last night. Some peace. I'll really make it an abbreviation. So some peace. More of like almost like a nothing, not even peace, more nothing started happening. And the feeling of, I could just sit here forever. It doesn't seem like this is getting anywhere. Nothing seems to be happening. There wasn't any aversion to it, right, or restlessness, it seems. So that's when we can really take the qualities of the mind as the object. This is mindfulness of, I could say mindfulness of mind, but also mindfulness of the fourth foundation, which is mindfulness of dhammas, where you see, this is where we talked about the factors of awakening, the spiritual faculties are there, hindrances are there also, and then some of the fourth foundations that we have. So, observing nothing, nothing being known, is not just happening, right, on its own. The mind needs to be stable, there needs to be an awareness, needs to be an absence of fear. So there's a lot of things that are happening, but if we look at the nothing, then the mind says nothing, right? And that's when either we sort of get confused, not sure, but then when you look at the qualities that that are there, there can be a contentment, a clarity, a sense of new is still happening, new moment, new moment. Doesn't have to be a lot of that, but just that wisdom that knows these are new moments and not much happening. Like that. And that you can just stay with. And then if some fear and uncertainty comes up, then you watch that. So again, whatever it is that it's arising, that is the new moment of conditions coming together. And our life will always be doing this. New moments, conditions coming together. Sometimes a lot of activity, mind and body. Sometimes more settled. Through it all, how are we meeting it? Through it all. Sometimes intense, right? This world can be very intense. Personal experiences can be very intense. How do we meet it? How do we meet it? When it's smooth and going well, how do we meet it? Is the practice still going along? But oftentimes this is when people stop practicing, is when things are smooth. Everything's going well. And then I often, it's like, I know when I see, haven't seen someone on retreat for a while, and then they come back on retreat, my heart a little bit is like, oh, like, oh, what's happened? Because oftentimes some suffering gets us to practice again because we know the benefit. But how do we keep practicing all the time when it's smooth, when it's challenging, quiet, invigorated, anything, right? So that's our invitation. Okay. Before my teachers strangle me and my co-teachers. Yes, Jesus has a quick announcement.
Hey everyone, very brief announcement from me. For those of you that have been practicing in the afternoons with me, some of you know we're going to meet outside today at 3:30. So when you go out the front of the building to the left. And for anyone who hasn't been practicing with us, you're welcome to come. We're going to go through the full 18 movements of the Qigong practice. It will be a fully standing practice, and you're welcome to just follow along or be there. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Suzanne. Yes, just I assume it's a question about the...
No mats needed. Yeah, shoes are optional. We'll be on the grass. Great. Thank you.
All right, so... Are you aware? A little bit. So a reminder again, because now that we have this potential for more in the mind to think about, for those of you who haven't had your last meeting groups today, so we have the 9:30 and 10:30 groups as normal. Okay, great.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.